Amen. Well, good morning. I have been thinking recently about the amount of times that I have been in new places with new people, where people come up to me and they inevitably say to me, "Hi, who are you?" It seems to be happening all the time. And the way I normally answer is, "Hi, I'm Pete. I'm from Letchworth." But I always think, do you know what? That doesn't actually answer the question of who are you. All I've actually said is what my name is and where I have come from. It doesn't really say who I am. In today's passage, we have some of the most important people of the Gospels. It mentions John the Baptist, whose name kind of gives him away and says who he is. We have the two brothers, Andrew and Simon. And we know, of course, that Jesus went on to change Simon's name, which means listening or hearing, to Peter, which means rock. And then we encounter John and James, who are titled Sons of Zebedee. I was doing some research around Zebedee, and I came across this picture. That's the one, of him and his wife and kids. It's by a German artist, and I think if there had been Facebook at the time, this would probably have been his profile pic. I hope that we can all relate to this picture in some way. Chaos looks like it's unfolding. Both of the kids seem to have lost their trousers. James is wildly waving around a dangerous stick, whilst John, his brother, is slurping up some wine. But I think there's a really important bit here, because I think this is the first event in history where dad jokes are born. And you can see it in Zebedee's wife's face on the next slides. Look at that. That is a face you pull after a dad joke, isn't it? I think Zebedee is there saying to his wife, "Darling, I've changed the family surname to Doodah so that John and James can be known as Sons of Zebedee Doodah." I think that's why they left him in the boat. Joking aside, the names were really important. And like he did with St. Peter, Jesus changed or nicknamed people. He gave John and James the nickname of the Sons of Thunder. And I always thought that really sounded like a 1970s rock group until I Googled it, and it really is a 1970s rock group. But all of these titles and nicknames were about clarifying or identifying who they were. Yet, in our passage today, Jesus doesn't start with, "Who are you?" He doesn't ask or need to ask who they are, or even what their names are. He simply says, "Follow me." Follow me. Those two words just mesmerize me. It doesn't sound very optional, does it? But at the same time, it doesn't sound like a hard instruction either. Yet, as we have heard in both instances, these four disciples just got up and went. Jesus said, "Come, follow me." And Andrew and Peter at once left their nets. And John and James immediately left their boat. I'm thinking to get away from further dad jokes, but I can't prove that. These two words must have been mesmerizing for them as well. And I believe, of course, it was because Jesus was saying them. Our Jesus. Our Jesus, who when speaks just a few words, gets a paralytic man to stand and walk. With a few words, he heals people, drives out demons, cures a leper, feeds thousands out of seemingly nothing, turns water into wine, and so much more. So when Jesus uttered the words, "Follow me," to his first disciples, I can totally understand why they did. Now, it might not be the incarnate Jesus' voice that we hear calling us in 2020, but through the Holy Spirit and through Scripture, he is absolutely calling each and every one of us to follow him. in a Bible study group that was looking at this passage, a lady told the group that the translation for the word follow in her native language has a different meaning. And to her, it means right to be on the heel of someone, to follow someone as closely as possible, not at a distance, but in the very footsteps of. And she demonstrated this by holding up the toe of a shoe to the heel of another. And I don't think that to follow someone is just to journey with them from place to place, but to be everything that they are about. So as those disciples were, we are called to follow Jesus, not from afar, but up close, and following his way and example and practices, and following his message, carrying out his instructions. I once heard a story about a vicar who really wanted to be installed in a church that didn't have one. So he went along one Sunday morning in a bid to impress them and gave the most outstanding sermon. And the whole church thought he was amazing and appointed him as their vicar. So his first Sunday in his new role came along, but the congregation were a bit surprised when he stood up to preach and he gave exactly the same sermon as he had done before. They were even more surprised when he got up the next week and preached it again, and then the next week, until he had preached the sermon 3 weeks in a row. One of the wardens met with him to find out what was going on, and the vicar said to them, "Don't worry, I know what I'm doing. When you start living out this sermon, I'll go on to my next one." And I can't help but feel that perhaps there is a little bit of this story in Jesus and the way that he approaches the message and his teaching. In Luke 4, we hear of Jesus standing in the synagogue, reading out loud the passage from Isaiah 61 that we've also heard this morning. The passage says this: "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." And a bit like the vicar in our story, this was one of Jesus' first preaches that he went on to repeat over and over, the message to proclaim the good news. There is an old adage, if we were all on trial at court, accused of being a Christian church, what evidence would there be stacked up against us all here at St. Paul's? And I would say, well, there is a fair amount. I see so much being done all the time here at St. Paul's. Today we have 3 services across the day, praising God and proclaiming Jesus as our Lord and Savior through worship and liturgy. We have Alpha meeting on Wednesday where people are exploring the faith. We have Wild Wednesday, Messy Church, Community Cafe, Luncheon Club, Home Groups, Fun Day coming up, Who Let the Dads Out, and so much more. There is so much stuff going on in this church, and I just feel like more things are going to start happening. So if you're asking, how do I proclaim the good news? Or how do I become a fisher of men in making disciples? Well, there is lots going on, and there's loads of space for new stuff to start. I wonder if Jesus had said to Andrew, John, James, and Peter, who are you? They would probably have said, well, we are fishermen, because that's what they were. And when Jesus said, follow me, and then they went with him, there was no big bang explosion as they transformed into amazing, all-knowing, charismatic evangelists right there at that moment. No, they were just still fishermen. But they were taking the first steps in closely following Jesus. And they would go on over time to do amazing things. And I take great comfort and encouragement from this, that it's through following Jesus closely that I can learn more. I can become equipped and receive skills to carry out his instructions of proclaiming the good news. So next time someone says to me, hello, who are you? What I really want to say, and the answer I should actually give them, is I am a close follower of Jesus, and I am on a continuing journey to proclaim the good news. Lastly, at Amanda's installation service of her being installed as Associate Vicar of All Saints on Monday night, which I know some of you were able to make, there was a stunning part of the service, as there was here at Jenny's installation, where the vicar that is being installed turns to the congregation that they're going to go on and lead, and they say this: "Will you share with me in the ministry of making new disciples to which we are called?" To which us, as the congregation, replies in these words: "Together, by God's grace, we will share the good news of Christ with the world and make new disciples." So whether you have said those words at an installation service, or if it's the first time that you've heard them here this morning, then I would encourage and challenge you to make that pledge afresh, because it sums up the message from Jesus today: to follow him, to proclaim the good news, and to become fishers of men. Let's pray using that simple but powerful pledge. Heavenly Father, I pray that together, by God's grace, we will share the good news of Christ with the world and make new disciples. Amen.